we're talking about transformation, but this isn't like a formula. There's no formulas, no step one, step two, step three here. Here it is. It's meet Jesus, get changed. That's what it is. And you've got to come in contact with the living Christ, Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will not be the same. I mean, that's all I can say. I can't transfer a bunch of information to you. And that's why in this series, I felt like I just got to tell you stories of people's lives who have been changed, because it's testimony. And I don't want to communicate something where you think, oh, I got the information now. Now I'm going to make myself change. It's not a make yourself change kind of thing. Again, you meet Jesus, get changed. He changes us. Transformation. Spoke to you about a man named John. His nickname, Son of Thunder. Met Jesus, was transformed into the apostle of love. And when we come to Jesus, it isn't a cookie cutter thing. We don't end up all being the same. You see, there's always something from the old that he originally created that he had enduring purposes for. And he just makes it new again. The biblical word for that is redeemed. And what he redeemed in the Son of Thunder was that when he became the apostle of love, he still made the heavens ring, but he made it ring with love, not with his anger. And I want to tell you the story about a man named Peter, and a man who had something redeemed in him, something from the old, that he was made different. And my hope in sharing these stories and these testimonies of men from the Gospels is that you might have hope too. I know sometimes that some of that fatalistic kind of thought comes into you. It's not just people who experience poverty, but that thing that says, give up. You can't do anything. You can't change. There's no hope for you. And what I want to smash that to bits with the testimony of these men and the testimony of the gospel that Jesus Christ transforms lives. So, Peter, he was a fisherman, kind of like his friend John, who he was in business with their family, the sons of Zebedee. And because they were in the same business, like Peter, they're well off. They're probably better off than most people. So they weren't maybe the image that we typically have from some stories or storybooks or movies, that poor fishermen. They're probably doing pretty well. Although, I mean, in that day and time, what was doing well? You're doing more than sustenance living, eking out things. In such a way that even Peter had a younger brother named Andrew. And probably wasn't going to, you know, carry on the family business since he was the younger brother. Was only going to get a portion of the inheritance. And so the younger brother, he took off. He didn't have to help out with the business because it was doing well. And he was off following John the Baptist. You read that about John chapter 1, 2, and 3. And Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist cried out and said, hey, look, there goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Andrew said, see you later, John the Baptist. I'm following Jesus now. And one of the first things that Andrew did was he hiked back up to Galilee from the south, and he told his brother Peter. And he said, there's a man you need to meet. I think he's the Messiah. And eventually Peter did come in contact with Jesus and was called by him too to follow him. Peter was a little, maybe a little later in life than some of the other disciples. He was already married, establishing a family. You read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sorry, I got in late last night, and so I don't have scriptures up on the screens for you to show you everything that I'm saying. So you'll just have to, this will be really good. It'll make you go, that can't be in there. That's really not in the Bible. And I hope it makes you want to go read it for yourself. So that's what I'm kind of hoping here. So I'll try to say some things that are really on the edge here. Yeah. But Peter, the guy we know him as Peter. His given name by his mother and his parents, his Jewish name was Simon. And really, when you look through the scriptures and you read the Gospels, you'll see that though he was given this name Peter, which is the Greek word for rock, many times in the most intimate moments or with Jesus or with his friends, they would revert back and call him Simon. And there are moments. When Jesus would say, like when he told Peter, throw your nets on the other side of the boat, he called him Simon. When Peter confessed that Jesus, that he believed that he was the Son of God, Jesus said, Simon, he called him Simon. When the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was just needing a friend to stay awake with him, he said, Simon, can't you stay awake? So even in those moments, Peter was not quite the rock, but he was still known as Simon to his closest friends and to Jesus. Now, one thing about Peter that really stands out is that he stands out. That's the deal with Peter. He was always the first to do something, always the first to leap. He was a bit rambunctious. He was impetuous. He was quick to act. And usually that first thing that he did was open his mouth. And so now being the first to open your mouth isn't always a bad thing. We'll get to that in just a minute. But there is a good thing to that. And with Peter, there were some really good things because he was always the first to ask a question. And he was very inquisitive. He was a discoverer. And he's the first to ask the meaning of a difficult saying to Jesus. He's the first to ask how many times he must forgive his brother. He's the first to ask what's the reward for those who leave everything to follow Jesus. He's the first to ask about the withered fig tree that Jesus cursed. And he's the first to ask explanation of Jesus' words about the end times. He's the first to ask the question to the risen Christ. And you know what? All those questions pay off. He discovers. He is the first to discover that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the first to say and answer that question when Jesus says, are you going to leave me too? Peter says, who are we going to go to? You got the words of life. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then later when Jesus says, and they're up in Philippi and they're in this city that has lots of temples to foreign gods, and there's lots of talk about who Jesus is, he says, you know, this is what people, who do you say I am? There's lots of talk about me, but who do you say I am? And what does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Peter is the first to discover Jesus Christ as Son of God. But you know what? Sometimes being the first to leap, the first to be passionate, to be the first to open your mouth means you often have to remove your foot. Yeah. When you do that, and Peter really did that a lot. He really did put his foot in his mouth so often, in fact, that he started wearing peppermint sandals just because he was tired of tasting dirt. And, you know, he was, although he was the first to discover who Jesus was, and he received a great promise at that moment from Jesus. Jesus said, because of this truth that you know about me, upon this rock, upon this foundation of who I am and who you discovered who I am, I'm going to build my church. And that was a big deal. But then the next moment, he turns around and he rebukes Peter. I mean, just seconds after this. And you know, it was about Jesus. He was saying that he was going to head to Jerusalem. He's heading to the cross. And he was going to die. And Peter's like, no way. This will never happen to you, Master. I will not let this happen. And, you know, Jesus turns around and he calls him Satan. He says, Satan, get behind me. Because, you know, this is the very thing he was setting out to do. This was his mission. And here was someone saying, hey, you need to avoid the cross. I mean, that it was like the words of the enemy. And so, I mean, it was a pretty severe rebuke. He's going first from, you know, hey, you're the rock. I'm going to build the church upon this. And then you're Satan. Get away from me. You know, in just like 5 minutes' time. So Peter was kind of this guy, a flip-flop kind of guy. And his passions led him one way or another. So, and that was kind of the thing with Peter and who he was. Now, there's a couple other things that happened with the story. You remember when he, John, and James were invited by Jesus to go up onto this mountain to pray with Jesus. And they go up, and all of a sudden, Jesus transfigures. He looks different. He's got this, and the glowing white robe, and there's this, you know, shiny kind of stuff going off. And all of a sudden, two other guys show up, Moses and Elijah. And they start talking with Jesus. Now, Peter, James, and John are just kind of dumbfounded at this point. And you know, think about it. You're there, and Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, you're in this holy moment, and they're having this really important conversation, and you interrupt them? You interrupt them to say something, to suggest something? I mean, it's a little ridiculous to even think about, but Peter does this, and he opens up his mouth, and the scripture says he didn't even know what he was saying. And you know, And he says, hey, how about we build a shelter for Moses and for Elijah and for you? And we'll hang out and camp out here because this is such a beautiful, holy moment. And as soon as he speaks, there's like this fog that comes over the place. And a voice from heaven says, be quiet. Be quiet. This is my son. Listen to him. And then it all kind of disappears. Elijah and Moses are gone. It's just Jesus. He looks normal, back to his dusty robe and sandals, and it's gone. And it's one of those moments where Peter learns something. He's not quite the rock. And again, speaking before he thinks, acting before he thinks. And you go on, and there's another moment. There's a moment when the disciples, and this is one you all have heard of and you're pretty familiar with, but the disciples are out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on a boat. The waves of the wind come up, and things are getting a little rough, and they're getting nervous because they're pulling pretty hard, and they're not making time. They're still out in the middle. It's late at night. And guess what? All of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking on the water. They start freaking because they think it's a ghost, and so they're scared. And then Jesus speaks. He says, hey, it's I. Don't be afraid. I'm not a ghost. In fact, I'll come into the boat. And before he does, Peter speaks. He jumps. He says, Jesus, if it's really you, let me walk out on the water to you. Why, you know, again, why would anybody think of that? I don't know, but he did. And so Jesus, generous and gracious and kind as he is, says, sure, come on, Peter. And so Peter leaps out of the boat. I mean, we admire that. That is cool. That's cool. And he is walking on water. But then the next second, eyes off Jesus, eyes on the water, eyes on the waves. What am I doing? And he starts sinking. And then he's drowning. Then he's really scared. And, you know, Jesus reaches out, pulls him up, brings him back into the boat. And the next moment, they're on the shore instantaneously. And they're all safe. Again, it's one of those moments where you get a glimpse into Peter and who this guy is. Now, there's another moment where you see this guy who, man, he's kind of wishy-washy. He's got a lot of passion, a lot of go get him. But where's the follow-through? Where's the follow-through? Well, there's another moment that Peter's quite famous for that you know. And there's this moment when Jesus is talking about his death. And he's saying, in just a few moments, actually, all of you are going to desert me. And you're going to leave me as I head for the cross. And what does Peter say? Lord, may that never be. I, even if everyone else deserts you, I will not desert you. And he makes this great promise of loyalty. The guards come. Everybody scatters. Everybody runs. Peter has a brief moment of where that loyalty and courage comes out. And he grabs a sword and he tries to swing at somebody and he's just so caught up in the moment. He misses the guy entirely and just gets his ear. And then Jesus slaps the ear back on and says, Peter, put your sword away. Wrong idea. Wrong. Again, you're getting it wrong. And so Peter, you know, I thought that's what I was supposed to, I'm trying and, you know, I made this promise of loyalty and did it wrong. And then everybody gets scared because they're going to get arrested too, so they all flee. But Peter, he kind of hangs out behind, and he kind of follows at a distance, and he follows till they reach to the high priest's house where they do this little kangaroo court thing, trying to put Jesus on trial. And as that's going on, Peter's out in the courtyard, warming his hands by the fire, and there's some people around, and there's a little servant girl, asks Peter, notices a Galilean accent, says, hey, you're one of those guys that follows Jesus, aren't you? And Peter is just a little shocked, you know, at first. I think he's just kind of surprised and, I don't, you know, mind your own business, little girl. I don't know what you're talking about. But then, you know, this little girl is persistent, you know, and definitely God is using this little child to do something in Peter. But she asks again. No, I think I've seen you. You're one of his disciples. And this time Peter, he's just scared. You know, he doesn't know what to do, and he freezes. So I don't know what you're talking about. And then by this time there's a crowd of people kind of gathering around listening to this little girl, and they ask a third time. Surely you're one of these guys. We recognize your accent. I think some of us have seen you walking around with him. And this time, Peter, flat out, I mean, he starts calling down curses. Dang it. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man, Jesus. The rooster crows three times. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus was back in the courtyard at that time and that he looked at Peter after the cock crowed. Can you imagine that look at that moment? I mean, this man who is, you know, one moment he's like a bull in a china shop, and the next moment he's this wimp that's flaking out. Which is it? I mean, he's so back and forth. And he's promising this loyalty in front of all the guys, but then this little girl comes up and scares him. What's up with this man named Peter, who's supposed to be a rock? Sounds like a pretty shaky guy to me. But you know what? Then the cross happens. The resurrection happens. And there's a little talk that Jesus has. Comes to meet with Jesus. And Jesus comes to meet with Peter. And it's mentioned in Mark 16, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And nobody knows what was said in that meeting. It's not recorded in the scriptures. I think some of us can probably imagine. Probably Jesus saying something to Peter, who's in tears, saying, I forgive you. I forgive you, Peter. It's all right. Kind of that forgiveness beyond reason, which can meet the sin beyond excuse. And not only forgiveness, but a little later, Jesus shows up with all the disciples near a shore of Galilee, and Peter's there, and Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? Kind of reminiscent of three denials. And Peter says, of course I love you, Jesus. You know I love you, Jesus. And then Jesus says, then if that's the case, then feed my sheep. I want you being back as one of these leaders in my tribe. You're back. And he restores them back to that place of ministry. And I think there's something about this forgiveness that Peter experienced that changed him, that transformed him. Something about this restoration and this trust that Jesus had put back in him that just made him a man, made him into a real rock. Because here's what happened afterwards. You see, Peter, on that day when everybody was saying, what are all these crazy people talking in different languages? What's going on? Are they drunk? And on that day of Pentecost, Peter stands up, and he's the first to speak out this time. But this time, he's not stepping out alone. This time, as he steps out and he speaks out, Jesus is with him. Jesus is living within him by his Holy Spirit. And Peter speaks out this time with the words of Christ. And he tells people the gospel for the first time. And 3,000 people turn and give their lives to Christ and are baptized into the name of Jesus on that day. Acts 2, verse 14. Peter is then the first to speak out and to defy the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders who at that point were ready to imprison him and ready possibly to execute him. And at that point, when they threaten him and say, we'll let you go if you'll stop talking about this man named Jesus, what does Peter say? He's not scared anymore like he was of that little girl. He's standing up in front of the religious leaders of the day, and now he says, do what you want. Sorry, guys. I would obey you in other matters, but in this matter, I have to obey God. You can't shut me up about this man named Jesus because he's changed my life. I'm a different man, and I got to tell the world. And he goes on. He rebukes Ananias and Sapphira for lying to God and lying to the church. He confronts a man named Simon who tries to buy the gospel. Says, hey, that's a neat trick. These people getting the Holy Spirit. Can I get that? Can I learn how to do that trick too? Can I buy it? Peter says, how dare you think you can buy the gospel? Which, by the way, we should be saying that to some people today who do the same thing and try to buy the gospel or try to get people to purchase things. Think they can earn their way to heaven with money or health or wealth or whatever it may be. In a moment of great realization that really countered all his natural intuition, that really countered his upbringing as a Jew, Peter stands up and speaks up for the Gentiles and says, yes, it is true. God has brought change He's brought the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, and the gospel is to go to them. And in a council of all his peers and the leaders of the church of that day, the first council ever, he speaks up, and he says, it's time. It's time to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's time. And because of his courage and his bravery in that moment, you and I, most of us here who are Gentiles, were able to hear the gospel. And because of that work, and because of Peter, and because he became a rock, and because he was a leader, the gospel has been transmitted for 2,000 years, crossed countries, crossed the ocean, and so that you and I were able to hear it today. And you and I were able to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And now we see a solid man. He's unshakable. He's a rock. He's a rock. And who did that? Jesus Christ. He's the one who changed him. I just want to read you some of the words that, through the Holy Spirit, Peter wrote down. Some of these words, and think in the light of who he was. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading from the Message, which is paraphrased. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. This is coming from a man who, after pulling up that boatload of fish, said to Jesus, Jesus, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. You're holy. I'm not. And now he's saying, no, be drawn into that. Don't run from it. Let the holy man Jesus come into your life, change you. Then in chapter 2, he writes this, and here's coming from the man who had given the nickname Rock by Jesus. He says, let me tell you about another rock. Let me tell you about the living stone, the source of life, the workman who took one look and threw it out. God set it in place of honor. Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workman threw out is now the chief foundation stone. Peter doesn't exalt himself because he was appointed a leader in the church. Instead, he continues to exalt Jesus Christ as the real foundation that we need to build our lives upon. Listen to more of what he says in the Gospel of Mark, which is the gospel that we believe was related by Peter. Peter had it transcribed by Mark for various reasons that I won't get into. But in that Gospel of Mark, we hear a lot about Peter. We hear a lot about his failings. Peter didn't cover up his failings. And here he says to you and I, God's instruments, be God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him. To tell others of the night and day difference he made for you from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You see, to tell the whole story, we got to tell what was before you see what is. You got to tell kind of the before so you can get the after and know that the glory goes to Jesus Christ. And so the same with us. We can't cover up the failings, how Jesus picked us up, forgave us, cleaned us, made us new. Listen to this. This is the kind of life you've been invited to, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so that you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. They called him every name in the book and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. And he goes on telling about Jesus, how he suffered. And he's saying, we're invited into this life of Christ. And guess what? There's good things in the life of Christ, but there's suffering too. You're going to have to learn how to suffer well if you're going to be a Christ follower. So he's not one of these Christian leaders that try to grab onto prestige. He's willing to go through the fire. He's a different kind of leader. He's a rock. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. And here's a guy who learned the lesson on the Mount of Transfiguration, wasn't thinking like Jesus was. But now, he's been walking with him. He's telling others, learn to think like Jesus. I know you got your man plans you want to give to Jesus. Hey, let's build a shelter for everybody. But you know what? Jesus got some better ideas. Be quiet. Learn to listen to him. And then he talks about probably the most personal thing to him, the forgiveness that he experienced. That's what Jesus Christ did, definitively. He suffered because of other sins, the righteous one for unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death and then made alive to bring us to God. And that's what Jesus did for Peter. Brought him back to God. He thought he was out. He thought he had been ruined because he denied Jesus, but Jesus brought him back. And then it won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. And again, given credit for this rock, the solidness in his life. Jesus put me there. He put me back. And then 2 Peter, I'll just read a couple more here. Just saying. He's talking about the coming judgment. And he says this. We weren't, you know, just wishing on a star when we laid the facts out before you regarding the powerful return of our Master Jesus Christ. We were there for the preview. We saw it with our own eyes. Jesus resplendent with light from God the Father as the voice of majestic glory spoke, "This is my Son, marked by love, focus of all my delight." We were there on the holy mountain with him. We heard the voice out of heaven with our very own ears. And when Peter, he doesn't focus on his failings at that moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he remembers what he was supposed to have remembered from that moment, what he was supposed to get from that impression from Jesus. And that one day he is going to come back resplendent, glorious, and powerful. And we need to be ready for that moment. And then he says this, God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. That's what Jesus did for Peter. Gave him space and time to change. That's what we're trying to do here. Give you guys space and time to meet Jesus who does the changing. I hope and pray that you also do the same for one another. Give space and time for each other to allow Jesus to change. We're all at different places, different points in our life. Let's be gracious to one another. No, we're not all walking in holiness. Some of us have been dragging around in the dirt of sin. Yeah. But you know what? Peter had those moments too. Space and time. But at the same moment, I know that Peter also speaks with urgency. And he says, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and you'll have your life on firm footing. The streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't put it off. So, same both. I hope that there's space and time for us all, for God to work his change in us. But I know that there is a sense of urgency that Peter also tells us by his testimony in his life, that if you're shaky, you're a person moved by passion, you're one minute, I'm all for Jesus, the next moment you're just all about the world. Man, you got to get yourself on a foundation of Jesus Christ. And he's calling out to you. He's invited you. The band's going to come up here. They're going to sing a song. And as they do that, I want us all to stand. And I want to give an opportunity for everyone just to respond. If you feel like you need to respond in some way physically, outwardly. I know that many times we respond, we're Americans and we're very white and very suburban and very all this in our thinking. And so we do things all intellectually and mentally. But I know sometimes maybe you just need to get out of that. You just need to say, man, I need to get on my knees. I need to say, God, forgive me. God, come into my life. Change me because I can't change myself. And so if you need that kind of moment, this is it. This is for you. They're going to sing a song. And so you can come down over here on this side and I won't bother you and no one else will bother you. It'll just be between you and God, right? You come over here, I'm going to pray with you, all right? And if you're here today and you need to do like Peter did, you need to make that confession. Jesus, I do believe. You've worked belief in my heart that you are the Son of God. And I want to say it out loud. I want to say that it's true in my life. I'm going to follow you. Then if you need to do that, I'd be glad to pray with you down here. All right? So let's stand up. Let's sing.